Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson from St. Matthew, the second chapter. Merry Christmas. Go ahead, you can still say it. Merry Christmas. That's right. Today is the 12th day of Christmas. So even though I've already seen trees on the side of the road, and even though the stores have all packed it away for Valentine's Day, the church, the true heir of the birth of Christ, is still celebrating his birth. Today is also the second Sunday after Christmas. So on this 12th day, we still celebrate. What a joy it is that our God has come to us. 9 months before his birth, he was incarnate in our same flesh, yet without sin, in a virgin. 9 months later, she gave birth, a birth that we still celebrate this very day. After our Christ's birth, the wise men see a star. And they follow that star, and they approach where they thought that the new king would be born. But rather they find Herod, and they say, "Where is this new king who is to be born?" And Herod, doing all that he can to squash any sort of king that might come after him, becomes frightened, and all of Israel with him. They said, "We saw his star and we have come to worship him." Herod calls the scribes together and says, "What is this? Where is the prophecy to be fulfilled?" So they search the scriptures and they find in Micah chapter 5, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Upon hearing where this child would be born, he gathers the wise men and says to them secretly, "Go, and when you find him, return word to me, so that I may go and worship him." Well, if you know how the rest of the story goes, you know that this man is lying through his teeth. Rather than finding out where it was and going to worship him, the gospel lesson for the second Sunday after Christmas is what Herod did next. That is, he called his guards and sent them to slaughter every boy under the age of 2 in that whole area. That is the opposite of worship the newborn king. Thinking that he could completely squash any sort of king who might go against him, thinking he had won. But we know that Herod did not win, because truly God told Joseph to flee, to take up his family and flee to Egypt so that he may be protected. Because even though Jesus had come to this earth to die for the sins of all people, that time had not yet come. And so God delivered his son. But the wise men go. They go. They come bearing gifts. And I've seen a lot of memes kind of mocking these men for the gifts that they bring. A lot of them talk about what wise women would have brought. Well, they would have brought diapers and a change of clothes and maybe something for the mother. And that's perfectly well and good. But these men are wise. And they come bearing gifts fit for a king. Gifts that are prophesied in our Old Testament lesson in Isaiah, that they shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, a gift of prayer. Myrrh, a gift to anoint the body. Jesus is no ordinary baby. He is God in the flesh. It is because of this text that we are reminded that Jesus came not just to save the Jews, not those of his Old Testament covenant, but he has come to save the Gentiles as well. For these wise men truly were not of the Old Covenant. They were a part of the New Covenant, that God would draw all people to himself from every nation. These foreigners who did not believe in the Old Testament, but yet knew of the great things that God had done in Israel, knew of the greatness of Solomon, and so come to see the newborn king. Our gospel lesson tells us something that is very hard for a lot of us to hear, mainly because every nativity scene ever gets a detail wrong. Think about these words. And going into the house, the wise men saw the child with Mary, his mother. The house, not a stable, but a house. The wise men may not have made it there for the very birth of Christ, but the truth is that this young child, on the very lap of Mary, his mother, caused them to fall down and worship him. We kneel, those of us who are able, kneel as we receive the very body and the very blood of that same Jesus. The same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. The same Jesus who would live a perfect life. Who would go to the cross. By his stripes, we would be healed. That's the same Jesus that they fall down and worship. We do the same. We receive him. No longer simply giving the gifts that the wise men gave, but receiving the gifts. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Your church, Good Shepherd, is a Bethlehem. This is a house of bread. For this is where God calls his saints to gather, to receive the very bread of life, the bread from heaven, the bread that is also the body of Jesus, given for you. This is a Bethlehem. We may be wondering what's next. What is next for this congregation of God's people? But trust that God already knows. He has a plan, even when we don't know what it is. And so today might be the day, but it might not be. And so we continue to trust God, trust in his plan, for he knows best. Just as he knew that the wise men could go and worship the newborn king, but then warned them to not return to Herod so that he might deliver his son. We are Gentiles, but we are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, the working of his power. Just as he calls ministers to your congregation, to my congregation, to all of our congregations, to distribute God's gifts of word and sacraments, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities of the heavenly places. God is manifest. He dwells with you, with our churches, with the houses of bread that he calls the bride of Christ. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We give him gifts of our praise, of falling down before him, knowing that there is nothing that we can do to inherit eternal life apart from God. And so God calls us to himself. There's an old story written by a man named William Sidney Porter, pen named O. Henry. He wrote the story called The Gift of the Magi. And the name might be deceiving because if you know this story, and even if you don't by its name, you might remember as I tell you what it's about. There is a man named Jim, and his wife's name is Della. And they are terribly poor. All that they have in life is each other. Della's prized possession is her hair, long and flowing and beautiful. Jim's greatest possession is his pocket watch. At Christmas time, she gives up her hair. She sells all of her hair in order to get him a chain for his pocket watch. And unbeknownst to her, he has gone and sold his pocket watch to buy her combs for her hair. A true story of sacrifice. And in this story, William Sidney Porter writes that the Magi inspired him. He says, the Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in case of duplication. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the wisest. Everywhere they are the wisest. They are the Magi. We come bearing minor gifts, but gifts, no doubt, the gift of praise. And in turn, we give to one another, for God sheds his light through us to our neighbor. So I think the real moral of that story, of the gift of Magi, that story is give from the heart, sacrifice for the love of another, but also maybe ask your wife ahead of time. And so we rejoice this day. We rejoice with the wonderful gifts that God has given us and will continue to give us day in and day out. God has a plan for you and your congregation. May it be brought forth soon. And so the church sings, come, heavenly bridegroom, light divine, and deep within our hearts now shine, their light aflame undying. In your one body let us be as living branches of a tree, your life our lives supplying. Now, though daily earth's deep sadness may perplex us and distress us, yet heavenly joy you bless us. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.